Hello, and welcome to Feng Shui Decoded, the essential feng shui podcast hosted by the founder of the Western School of Feng Shui, Tara Catherine Collins, and co-hosts Lori Webb-Grillo, Ro Rusnak, and Ellen Schneider. With over 8 decades of combined experience as feng shui practitioners, teachers, and authors, your hosts literally have a whole library of success stories to share with you. And they'll decode their stories and give you the keys to practicing essential feng shui in your own life. Whatever challenges you're facing, Tara, Lori, Ro, and Ellen will give you the tools to decode your environment and improve your life.
Hi, it's Lori. I'm going to be moderating today as we dive deeper into the meaning of feng shui. Today, our decoding includes looking at the philosophy behind feng shui. I love to do this because it helps to understand why feng shui works. This philosophy is based on 3 pillars, and they're easy to remember and understand. My co-hosts, Tara, Ro, and Ellen, and I will take you on another decoding journey in today's podcast. But before we dive in, I want to do a quick recap on the definition of feng shui, which we talked about in our previous podcast. So if you didn't have a chance to listen to that yet, this will help you grasp the meaning of this ancient practice with modern, simple language. We all have a slightly different way of explaining feng shui to our clients and our students and our audiences. Ro reminds us that feng shui is the art and science of placement in spaces, and that our environments reflect our consciousness. Ellen says that feng shui arranges your environment to positively impact your life, and feng shui can be a vehicle for transformation. Tara reminds us that feng shui's goal is to create environments that best support human longevity, prosperity, and happiness. And I like to say that feng shui is the study and practice of arranging your environment to help you reach your goals. And we're all right. Those are all definitions of feng shui. We hope that one of those will resonate with you. So how can feng shui possibly do all of that? We know, and we're going to share with you, that it's developed over thousands of years along these three main ideas that we sometimes call the pillars. So we're all going to talk about these pillars today and share with you some stories about how those pillars actually show up in our lives. So I'd like to turn the podcast, start with Tara today, and if you could introduce us to our first pillar.
Absolutely. It was one that blew my socks off when I realized how much I had to learn from it. And that pillar is that everything is alive. Everything I knew originally or before this, I did know that my plants were alive and my pets were alive. I was alive. Even my food was alive. But I did not realize that my furniture, all of the things I lived with, whatever shape they were in, they were all alive with my feelings, associations, and thoughts about them. And they were all talking to me all the time. So big transformation for me when I realized that that big pile of clutter in my garage that I drove in every single day, saw it all over again, was alive with how I felt about it. And I didn't feel good about it. It was stuff that I didn't need. It was stuff that I didn't want. However, because I was not seeing it as alive and worthy of being treated in an honoring way, it just sat there as if it was not alive, except it absolutely was. So when I made that shift in my own consciousness and I realized, my God, this all deserves a good home. This all deserves to be treated with dignity. It totally changed how I saw my reality. And I have seen at this point thousands of times, people have the same wake-up call that when they see every single thing around them as alive and having a message and having a relationship with them, they change in how they perceive with, or how they proceed in having that relationship with those things. So it's a beautiful discovery process for people. And I have a feeling that, Ro, you have some things you'd like to share too about everything being alive.
Yes. And I want to really put a strong validation on everything you said, Tara, because I believe all of us on this call, the experts that we are with feng shui, we had to go in and have those revelations. We had to see how our life was at that time. And learning feng shui, we realize that everything is alive. Everything is speaking to us. Everything is either telling us these memories that you have with this piece are beautiful, or these memories are draining your life chi. So I am so grateful that I understand whenever I bring something into my space, I look at it, I really feel, is this going to bring me joy? And the piece talks to me, it tells me, yes, I'm going to bring you joy or I'm not going to bring you joy. For me, it was really realizing that the piece I had from my ex-husband when I was living in the apartment with my children and a single mom, when I heard about looking at every item, there were only two items in my home that I loved. And I started giving things away, and my children, who were at the ages of 9 and 10, said, oh my God, mom, are you going crazy? What are you doing? You're giving everything away. And I said, you know what? I have such a trust that when I'm giving these things that are no longer serving me away, that they're going to come to us in magical ways. And they did. So it was a really profound experience for me to understand that every single item in our home, the clothes that we wear, the shoes that we have in our closets, we need to look at them and see what they're saying to us. I have one really wonderful story that was with a client that I want to tell you about that changed her life. And I'll make it as brief as possible because it's a long story. But she called me and she said, Ro, I've heard about you. I'd like you to come feng shui my home. And she said, I'm having a challenge with my weight. I always have, but it seems I'm gaining weight without eating more. And so I came to her home, and it was a gorgeous home. And she opened the door, and it was a beautiful foyer. And there was a lovely, large picture of her auntie on the wall in the foyer. And I commented, I said, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. And she said, oh, it's just my auntie. And I said, wait, come back. Tell me about your auntie. And she said, well, this picture was given to me 3 years ago and it's worth a lot of money. However, I don't have a great relationship with my auntie. And I said, well, why do you have the picture hanging, can I ask? And she said, well, nobody else could fit it in their home. And this is worth a lot of money. And I said, so we had this conversation and I said, do you understand that every time you walk in your foyer, you welcome your guests in and they see this beautiful picture, I'm sure they say something about it. And she realized for the first time, she said, you know what, Ro, now that I'm thinking about this, when I was a little girl, my auntie would serve up all the cake and the desserts on birthday celebrations. And I was a chubby kid and she would only give me a little piece. And everyone else got a normal sized piece of cake and ice cream. That is how my auntie was. And I said, and you have her on your wall? And she said, oh my gosh. So I said, you know, what can you do with this beautiful portrait? And she said, you know what? I'm going to call my relatives and see if anyone else can take it. So good news, she finds a nephew and she ships it out, costs a lot of money to ship it, but she ships it to him. 3 months later, I came to the house. She opens the door and she must have lost about 25 pounds. I looked at her, she looked at me, and she said, "Ro, the weight's just falling off." So that is the power of everything has memories and associations. So please, please, please think about what your items are saying to you. We want them to say the most beautiful things. And that is just one of many stories I have to share. So Ellen, I'm going to pass the ball to you. Would you like to share with us?
Absolutely. And Ro, I want to speak into associations that you just mentioned, because when I think of the alive tenet, I think about the associations and the unseen, which are thoughts. Mm. So, and I also think of knowing about something being alive allows you to unburden yourself or your home, because you realize everything is alive, but I don't love everything. Just like what you've been talking about. I wanted to talk about the computer, because we have computers and we have phones, and there are a lot of contacts in our phones. There's a lot of files in our computers that we no longer need or want. There are pictures of people that we no longer talk to. And working with a client about this, it's always there. Our thoughts have to go somewhere. So they're hanging around. They're hanging around. And if they're in the computer, they're still hanging around. And every time we open it up, we say, "I've got to clear this computer." And we just go on, perhaps. My client did not. She went into her computer. She went through everything, took out the things that were not meaningful and did not make her happy, and excavated the richness that was there that she could not see, which were pictures of people she did love, which were writings that she had done long ago that she wanted to recap, that she published in a little book for her family. So there's always, I think, a gift in discovering that this is not the ideal for me and who I am today. What is? And sometimes it's there, but we can't see it because there's something covering it up. So layers. The other story I have about alive is that I did a doctor's office. The doctor was a part of a practice of about 5 or 6 people. She was beginning. She was the only female. She had one side of the building. Her side of the building, which we applied feng shui to every exam room. But what I suggested to her was the hallway, which had this heavy, harsh, fluorescent lighting, to just turn that lighting off and put little white lights all across the roof line of the hallway. And she did that. And what she noticed is that people were feeling much better when they were coming in. They were more enthusiastic. They weren't depressed. It's not that everybody got well and no one had any problems, but you know how it is when you're going to a practitioner for some help with your health, you're not feeling 100%. That's why you're there. And so they immediately perked up and they had a wonderful experience just being in her office. And then it was a segue for her to do her work. So 2 pieces here, visual and the unseen, the hidden that is there, still a weight that we have to unburden ourselves from.
Wow. You guys, this is really, really interesting, because we all have a little bit of a slightly different experience with this pillar. So when I first heard everything is alive with energy, I immediately thought to a little bit, and then this was brought in later, of a science background, of the physical reality. And I had that aha moment of how did these people thousands of years ago understand now something we can prove, because everything is made up of atoms vibrating at different levels. And yes, there is stuff moving and alive down there. So having that little bit of the science piece of it as well is, yeah, everything is alive. And like Tara was saying, your animals, your friends, your plants. Sure, that's all easy to really understand. It's a little harder to understand about computers and electronics and lights. So I have, when I've talked to clients before, I have said, when I'm trying to explain this concept, I'll say, I want you to think about how you feel if you walk into a casino and you can hear all the ding, 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 all those machines and all that stuff and everything. It feels alive. And then the difference between like walking into a library and it's a different sound, it's a different feeling, but both of these places are alive with the energies that they are wanting also to express. So I had the experience of feng shuiing a casino, which wasn't something I really was thinking I could do. But what it was the issue for this place that is very alive, right? Was that they didn't know how to draw people in because there were a lot of new casinos coming around. So we looked at the outside of the building, and there was signage out front, but we created some art on the outside of the sidewalk because this was a place where a lot of people were walking. But there's a lot of people, you know, being called into the doors. How do you welcome? How do you invite? How do you create that space? So we created a very beautiful, inviting walkway into this casino. It had to do with their logo and a star and some metal and all of the elements and everything else. So we created a reason for all of this energy that was going by in the form of people to stop and look at this beautiful entry on the bottom of it and then walk in. We had a lot of other things that we talked about on the inside too, because we also know that places that have too much going on can sometimes be hard on our bodies. But that was a very interesting experience of me saying, well, gosh, there's a lot of, you know, there's feng shui operating here in this space, very different than in a home, but for this space. And yet they also had issues and that feng shui can solve. So that was very interesting for me. So I just want to do a quick little recap here. We've got some stuff going on with alive. Tara thinking this clutter didn't matter, but it was alive and speaking to her. And one of the things that I love that you said, Tara, was that you wanted to honor this stuff, that it had a right to be heard. And that's a beautiful concept, I think, for everybody. Ro, I love that you talked about association and memories of things. So your things hold past feelings, and we have to honor that as well. Right. And Ellen, I love that you talked about the present. Our thoughts are alive, that unseen thought nature of aliveness. So feng shui, this is one of the things that feng shui teaches us, right? One of the pillars that as feng shui asks us to consider this when we're looking at bringing feng shui into our world. Everything is alive. Everything is talking to us. What is it saying? So all right, we are going to move on to our second pillar of feng shui, and I'm going to go ahead and, Ro, I think I'll start with you, if that's okay. What is our second pillar of feng shui that we need to consider as we move forward in this journey?
Everything is connected. Everything is connected with energy. I had the most profound experience with this pillar, because when I first learned about feng shui, I realized that I did not respect my items in my home. I was so busy in life, so busy raising my children, that my little hovel of an apartment was disrespected. And the more I read about feng shui, I realized that I am interconnected with everything. And for a lot of us moms, oftentimes we can't do things for ourselves, but we can definitely do things for our children if we know we are affecting our children in a negative way. So why I say this was profound is my children were 9 and 10 when I was learning about feng shui. And I realized that my energy, how I came into the experience of my life with my children, with my friends, with everything in life, was affecting them immensely. My life was not going well at that time. So I had to evaluate and look at my life and say, okay, Ro, in feng shui, it says that we need to take 100% responsibility of our lives. And it's only up to us to make a phenomenal life for ourselves, or mediocre, or a very dismal life. And my life was very dismal back then. So I had a lot of work ahead of me to learn about energy. I read so many books on feng shui. I studied, I practiced it in my home, and slowly but surely, everything started working for me. And understanding that we have such an impact on the people in our lives, that I could have very easily followed my mom's footsteps of being a single mom and having a dismal life, or I could say, this stops now. I am going to feng shui the hell out of my apartment. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can. And I did. My thoughts started changing. My children went to universities on scholarships. My life has been profoundly affected by this realization that everything that I do is affecting every part of my life. And I cannot be more joyful about this knowledge. And for me, having the desire to change, and I hope that for all of our listeners on the call, to really be so sick and tired of whatever's not working in your life that you can, by having this knowledge about feng shui and about our thoughts, that you can change anything you want in your life. That is the connection of energy and how we are relating to everything. So, Ellen, would you like to share?
Oh, sure. This everything being connected, I also think about relationship and people. I was a neophyte in business, and I walked into a governor's conference for women, didn't know one person, must have been 500 people there. And I had made like small talk in the foyer with a woman, and she saw me when I came in. I didn't know where I was going to sit. And she said, Ellen, come on over here. And I sat down, she put her arm around me, and she introduced me to everyone. And that connection altered me. And I started doing that for other people. That's the piece about everything being connected. I would kind of watch for people at networking meetings, at conferences that looked like they didn't know where to sit. I mean, it was that easy. And I would do that for them. In fact, we initiated a whole piece to happen in some of these big meetings, that there were five people that would be on the lookout to greet people and to connect them to someone and put them at a table. So that everything is connected is really, really great. The other piece is it can go positive or negative. So in my world, I have a cupboard door that I hit my knee on frequently because I do not push the basket into the cupboard enough underneath the sink. And I forget that I've done that. So as soon as I hit my knee, which makes me very upset, I go out in the living room and I yell at my husband because he's the only one there. So there's a connection right there with negative, like, uh-oh. And then it just goes on and on. It kind of, so what is the solution? Do something different underneath the sink, right? Make it right. Make it work for you so you don't have to get upset. And the other piece in terms of connection, extend your hand to someone. Mm-hmm. Even if it's your neighbor who you don't know, that you have been watching out your window, go across, introduce yourself, exchange phone numbers. That whole thing, connection creates community. And that's how I have experience the pillar many, many times.
Wow, you guys, I love that so much in terms of connection. And I'm going to invite Tara to add a little connection story so we can, what I'm hoping we do with this podcast is we talk about these pillars and then everybody can begin to think about their own lives and how these pillars also relate to their lives. So Tara, do you have a connection story, either your own or with a client, that makes some sense to us?
Yes, absolutely. Coming from a holistic health background, I was very aware through my previous career of people not understanding that their body was a holistic system. And our whole, now that I am so engaged in feng shui, I realize it's not just the body that is a holistic system. It is the world that's a holistic system. And every part of our lives, rather than thinking that my work is the most important and my rest is the least important, I shift and I see that it's all equal. It's unique. Rest is unique to work, but it's equal in importance and in connection. So my love life is connected to my work life, and my work life is connected to how my community relates to me, and how my community relates to me is then connected to my creativity and to being in the right place at the right time to meet the right people. Everything is connected. And I loved what Ro said, that the more she understood that every single thought she's having, every single action she took was connected together. And this is how we bootstrap our way into a better and better life, is realizing the kitchen is just as important as the back bathroom. My love life is just as, or is connected and is just as important as my work life. And we stop creating this sort of vertical understanding that there's the most important and the least important. And we click into a whole new understanding that everything is connected and everything is equal in its being alive and being part of our lives. So I think of a quick story of just, we see this all the time as feng shui practitioners. People don't realize that one part of their life is connected to another part. And a quick example of that is working with a single woman who was dating, and she would come home with her date and they had gotten along great that night. And they'd sit on her sofa to visit, and behind the sofa was a huge piece of art that was made completely of shards of mirror. And she would then have arguments. Her dates would turn from very harmonious to very argumentative. And when I saw this piece, I said, this is what your love life is connected to, these shards of glass, the huge amount of them that are right behind your back. That is not separate. That is totally connected to the quality of your dating life. So that's just one quick example.
Wow. Wow. As you were talking, your love life connected to your work life. I was thinking about the song, you know, your ankle bones connected to your leg bone. You know, I was kind of like singing along in my head. I'm like, yes, this, we're just going to change the word. We're going to make this a feng shui song. But just quickly for me, and I know that you guys have experienced this well in terms of connection, you've gone into clients' homes and they are beautiful, right? And you're like, I wonder why I got called in here. And then they'll say, well, we just spent all this money on this interior design and it's really, really pretty. And we don't like it. And we don't know why, because we thought we would. And then we have that discussion about, well, tell me some things that you do like about this, right? Because you bought this. And they'll talk about maybe the colors, or there might be like something on the table that they liked. And then And then as we would go through the house, I would see that there was, you know, a cupboard that was all closed up, and I'd open it up and I'd say, well, what's in here? And they would say, oh, this is all the stuff that we love because we love to play board games. And, you know, so we started pulling some of this stuff out that they were connected to, right? There were no pictures of them in the home. And so we began to talk about some of that stuff, and even just a little bit, pulling some pictures out, putting some board games on the little coffee table next to the couch. All of a sudden they could get it, that they had this power, and we use this all the time, live with what you love and get rid of the rest. That is a classic example of connection in feng shui. Tara, you used the word relationship. I love to use that word with my clients. You are in relationship with your stuff. You're connected to this stuff, and put it out, live with what the stuff that you loved. So they really began to grasp that, and they didn't make that many changes to their house. They put away some of the stuff that they were afraid they were going to break, or their dog was going to break, you know, the fancy vase or whatever, and put some other stuff out. But it's just a great example of remembering that you're connected to all this stuff that you love. And I can remember during the training, we learned that, you know, a great feng shui master could probably walk into your house and tell you the story of your life, right? Because we surround ourselves with the stuff that we love, that we're connected to, and it tells our stories. And that's the great thing about feng shui too, because if your stuff's not telling the story that you wanted to tell, guess what? You get to move it around or make some changes, which brings us to our third pillar. So I'm going to toss that third pillar over to you, Ellen, to tell us a little bit about what's our third pillar of feng shui here.
Yes, everything is always changing. And when I look at this, I think of nature. We have a yard that has been fully landscaped, and we get freezes here. And so the lantana bush that bursts all of these beautiful yellow flowers is got frozen on the top, and it's dark, and you can't trim that until it gets warm, or you can really hurt the plant. So my husband was saying, you know, there's been an energy change out there for me. I walk out there, I get a little sad. My little babies are. So he said, you know, I'm going to put a sign out there for them. And I'm going to tell them, hey, listen, all good. We just had a freeze. You're coming on back. We'll see you in the spring. And I just thought, what a brilliant. Now that's for him, you know, but it's so true about the plants. Because he was saying those roots underneath are really strong. They're embedded. They're okay. It's the top. I mean, think about this again, the visible and the invisible. You know, the top part, the exposed part took a beating, but the roots are firm and in the ground, just like us. And the other thing I think about with everything already always changing is that one of the biggest lessons I learned from feng shui is it's okay to change your mind. I mean, we may say something on this podcast and you're listening and you think, I'm going to go do that right now. And you do it. And then you look at it and you say, well, I don't like that. Maybe that worked for Ellen, but it doesn't work for me. Okay, change it. It's okay to change your mind, and it's okay to have something working that you absolutely love for months. And then one day you look at it and you realize, I'm done with that. I'm going to take that apart. I'm going to do it differently, because it's our environment is following our energy. Like Ro talks about, the environment is reflecting your consciousness. It's your mirror. When you change, you have to change it. And it's okay to change your mind.
Amen. It's okay to change your mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we all love change. it just rings our chimes. Yeah, let's change it out. Not everybody always feels that way, but I'd love to hear some other stories from Tara. Yeah, why don't you tell us some story about how change has impacted you, has impacted your clients. How do you explain that to them?
Well, what I'd like to start with is that famous feng shui line, if you want change in your life, move 27 things in your household. And that's just a kind of a giving us the feeling of when we want a change, we need to begin by changing things, right? We can't just think it, we can actually embody it and do it in our lives. And what I see so often with clients is they're living in a home that was just perfect when they were raising their children. Say they had two kids, there's four bedrooms in the house. Both of those bedrooms still have the little single bed and the little kid furniture, and those children are in their 30s at this point in time. And the person has called me in because they're feeling stuck. It's like they're getting old and they feel like life is passing them by. And what a fabulous opportunity it is for all of us in the feng shui world is to become the cheerleader of that person and egg them on to change one or both of those rooms to mirror to them their current self as a person who loves yoga, as a person who now has a chance to paint and be creative, as a person who wants to really put together a jazzy, fabulous, current guest room for all sorts of friends to come and visit. Bringing the house up to who I am now is so powerful. And I'm thinking and kind of laughing to myself, I just changed my office 2 days ago. I rearranged the furniture and I can feel when that wants to happen. And I really invite all of us to just notice when you walk into a room and there's something about it, it's like you can feel in your body that you want to move a table, a lamp, a piece of art. It's calling, it's talking, it's saying, it's time for me to live elsewhere, or it's time for me to go over there and not be over here. So we can really explore and develop this capacity to be able to recognize when change wants to come into our lives and how dynamic it will keep our lives as we follow those changes.
Yep. So true. Ro, share with us a story about a client or yourself.
I'd love to. One that comes to mind, and there are actually several homes I've done this with, is my client will complain about their energy. And they'll say, you know, I used to have so much energy and I don't know, it's the house. I don't know what's going on. And I'll walk through the home. And I don't know if you guys know that feeling of it, when somebody's been in a home for a long time and they haven't kept the kitchen, and from lots of cooking with oil or whatever, the walls get kind of dingy looking. Do you guys know what I mean? It just, things look dull, right? They look dull. So a lot of homes that I've gone into, the home just has this stale feeling. And so what's really fun is I have them think about, what would it be like if we changed the paint color in these rooms? How would that make you feel? And they think, oh, you know, gosh, that might be a lot of work. And I say, no, you know, really, painting goes really quickly and you can get somebody to come in, or if you want to do it yourself, it's the best way to change the energy of a room, is giving it fresh color paint, everything shiny and clean. And that is one area to really change things up in your home, especially if you're on a budget and you don't have a lot of money. Paint color is fabulous. Another thing that I talk to my clients a lot about is I relate to the body. And I talk to them And I say, you know, think about yourself when you were a teenager. Your body's changed through the years, right? And they all say, yeah, you know, my body's changed. And a lot of, especially the women, well, yeah, you know, and all these wrinkles, you know, I have all these wrinkles now. And I said, you know what? When you start practicing feng shui, you start realizing that there's so much more depth than just our outer shell. So if you could possibly not resist the changes that you can't control, I mean, do what you can, right? I mean, we can take care of our bodies and do what we can, but to allow the changes to happen, life becomes so much more rich and beautiful. And so I want you to think about your homes, like your body. What can you change? What would make you feel really happy about changing? And let's do it. But the things you can't control in your life, don't let them take any room in your mind. Because if it just is an ism, don't put energy towards things you can't change. So that kind of gives them permission to lighten up. And boy, was I one of those people that needed to learn how to lighten up about life. Because I wanted to change everything about my life, especially when I was just learning about feng shui. And I had to do what I could at the moment. And I want the listeners just to know that if you can't afford to do a lot of things right now, that's okay. It's gonna come. Just keep practicing what we're teaching you. Just learn all these beautiful pillars that are truth and do what you can now. Make the small changes that you can and watch for the changes. And I like to tell everyone to keep a journal about the changes that you do make and then watch, just be watching and watch how the positivity comes into your life.
Fantastic. Well, I would like to reiterate a little bit of what you're saying too about we don't need to make big changes. And that's one of my favorite things about feng shui is small changes can have big results. And I have this just real quick story about moving a plant and moving a couch for a client 2 inches, one direction. And she looked at me and she goes, "This has changed my life." And we kind of laughed. We moved one plant and a couch 2 inches. And I'm like, my work here is done. I mean, we did a whole lot more, but that brings back that idea that small things can make a huge difference. And that's just one of the many things I love about feng shui. But I think we've kind of come to a nice end of this particular conversation about our three pillars. And we're going to talk more about how these things relate to all of us. But I'm hoping that our listeners will understand we have our definition of feng shui about arranging things. And this we started to touch on these vehicles for transformation and all of that as well. But these three pillars, if you can consider that everything around you is alive, everything around you is connected, not just you and those beautiful people that you love, but also your desk and your chair and your bed and the world. Tara reminds us that our love life is connected to our work life and our health and all of that. And then also everything is changing. So we can just breathe through that too. So those are our pillars. And upon this foundation, we are going to take you on a journey with Feng Shui Decoded and teach you and share more and more from our clients, from our own lives, in hopes that you can take this fabulous, fabulous practice into your own world and bring about what we talked about in the beginning, which is longevity and prosperity and happiness. So thanks for sticking with us today, and we will be with you next time.
To learn about essential feng shui, please see the show notes or go to the Western School of Feng Shui website, wsfs.com.